from the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
It is indeed a beautiful morning, 9:06 on the 16th day of March. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacy Ann, and in the studio with me is my Tuesday co-host, Josh. Thank you, Josh, for being here.
Thanks for having me. Super excited for today.
I know. We have a great show planned for you, our friends, and we are excited about it. I want to just run through a couple things, just some local news items, things to keep our eyes open as they are working for redistricting here in Oregon. I think it's kind of an interesting story. You got to check it out at northwestobserver.com. Bipartisan coalition calls for independent redistricting. And I love this quote. Voters should choose their politicians. Politicians shouldn't choose their voters. And I think right there says it all. We're going to put this story up on our Facebook page so you can learn more about that. And if you're not subscribing to Northwest Observer, I encourage you to do so. It is kind of interesting when we talk about the media and we talk about stories in the headlines. Yesterday, and maybe you had a chance to check in and listen to Mark Levin's story. I don't know if you caught this at all. Josh, I know you're pretty busy these last few days getting your house all reorganized and all that fun stuff. But yesterday, it was noted that the Washington Post did a correction to a story in regards to the Georgia Secretary of State released an audio recording of President Donald Trump's December phone call with the state's top elections investigator. The recording revealed that the Post misquoted Trump's comments on the call based on information provided by a source. And the interesting thing about Mark Levin then in his show, he went back and said all the different news media sources that quoted this Washington Post source as like fact, right? And now it's like this rippling effect before the election. And that kind of ties into what we're talking about today, because in you have showed me, Josh, in my short time that I've known you, how we've been so deceived in the media and how we've been so deceived and how we've been kind of led down this path that's leading somewhere bigger. And part of that is you had introduced me to someone by the name of Laura Loomer. Mm-hmm. And I learned that there's actually a term called Loomered. Uh-huh. And talk to me a little bit about how you found out about Laura and how you first learned of her story. And I'm excited to bring her in on this conversation. Good morning, Laura. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, you and I met at CPAC, and I was so excited to get a picture with you because I knew it would mean a lot to Josh. Josh actually has introduced me to you and told me your story. But Josh, how did you find out about Laura and what has happened to her?
Well, if you guys don't know, I mean, we got to kind of dive in. And for those that don't know about Laura, we really have to talk about, you know, where she started, where she came from, and kind of how she got to this position that she's in. Mm-hmm. And what she's doing for the cause and what she's doing, I think, on behalf of the American people, with the amount of big tech censorship and just the overreach that's happening through anything and the coercion with media and everything like that. Laura has been and continues to be on the front lines with that. So I guess without further ado, I'd like to introduce and maybe have Laura introduce herself, talk about, you know, a little bit about your history, where you're at, what's happened, kind of, you know, how you decided that you wanted to run for Congress and kind of what led up to that, and your censorship and your experiences and things that have kind of led up to that.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. And as you said, you know, I have a lot of experience dealing with cancel culture and censorship, and I currently am the most banned woman in the entire world. I'm literally the most censored person in the country. And I've been living a deplatformed lifestyle for the last 4 years or so. I'm a conservative investigative journalist. I got my career started working undercover with James O'Keefe at Project Veritas, where I was undercover in the Hillary Clinton campaign, exposing voter fraud and corruption. And I worked with James O'Keefe in Project Veritas for a few years, and then I started my own media company. And as Stacy mentioned, I created my own media company called Illuminate Media, and I started making these videos, these ambush videos, where I would confront high profile politicians and especially Democrats on live stream, and I called it Getting Loomered.
Mm-hmm.
And the videos were very viral. I confronted Hillary Clinton. I've confronted Huma Abedin, James Comey, Maxine Waters, Ilhan Omar. And ultimately, I started doing these deep dive exposés into politicians. And long story short, I had broken the story about Ilhan Omar marrying her brother and mm-hmm. was the first journalist to ever confront her and Rashida Tlaib before they were elected to Congress. And when I was in Minneapolis investigating Ilhan Omar and then also the Keith Ellison domestic violence story, people didn't believe that there was this Muslim candidate for office who married her brother, committed immigration fraud, and was running for office and was probably going to win. And I was warning people that she was going to win her race, and ultimately she did. And I was targeted and deplatformed as a result of exposing Ilhan Omar before anybody else. And the group that led the initiative was CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. And so people think that when people get banned from Facebook and Twitter, it's just as simple as them, getting banned or deleting your account. But there's actually full-blown lobby efforts that are launched by radical leftists and radical Islamic organizations like CARE and SPLC that that target conservatives, high-profile conservatives, to get them shut down. And so for those who don't know what CARE is, it stands for the Council on American Islamic Relations, and it's been designated as an Islamic terrorist organization in the UAE, and they were found to be supporting Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood during the Holy Land Foundation terrorism trial, which was our nation's largest terrorism trial.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2019, the Wall Street Journal released a report that an expose that said that executives from Twitter met with officials from CARE, and I was banned at the request of CARE. So in other words, Twitter banned me at the request of an Islamic terrorist organization because I was exposing Ilhan Omar and my reports were too effective. And of course, this organization had endorsed Ilhan Omar. They had given her campaign contributions.
Of course.
And after that, I was banned everywhere. I was banned on Facebook, Instagram, PayPal, Venmo, GoFundMe, Chase Bank shut down my online access to my bank account.
Yep.
I've been banned on Periscope, Cash App, Twitter, Uber, Lyft, Uber Eats. I'm not even allowed to order food delivery. And so, this is what happens to you when you're over the target for simply having an opinion or exposing high-profile Democrats who are all very intertwined with big tech. And I've been suing them. I've launched several lawsuits, but maybe I'll let you leave the conversation and ask,
sure.
ask specific questions because there's so much. I mean,
we could
talk about this for days. I literally just wrote an entire book about it.
Yeah, so you got a book. It's coming out. You're shooting for October. And looks like it's on Amazon. I pre-ordered it. Super excited to see that. So you literally are the most deplatformed woman, I would say, in the world, but I mean, we can just stay at the United States, and what's interesting about the deplatforming and how these big media conglomerates are working and how big tech censorship is working is they aren't just deplatforming you. They're also allowing disinformation and using their other media platforms to basically smear you and discredit you and dismantle your entire reputation with everything that you do and everything that you stand for. If I look like, we Google you, and, all that comes up is that you're a conspiracy theorist, you're a far right, activist supported by Trump, and they're just constantly slandering you. They have pages and pages and pages of that. So really, it's not about the deplatforming in its entirety. It's the misinformation and disinformation and just trying to smear everything that you are. But, you didn't just stop there, right? You I remember when you were deplatformed. I remember when, all this stuff happened. And I mean, they're literally taking your bank accounts away and virtually putting you in the same category as a terrorist while supporting terrorism, which is crazy to me. But then,
and that's exactly what they did. They designated me as a terrorist. And so
yep.
You're right. Not only do they ban you, but then they smear you. And that's one of the worst things about being deplatformed is because if you are smeared, generally you're able to confront your accuser. But
exactly.
When you're deplatformed, you're not able exactly. to fight back. So you'll go online and you'll see all these lies about me, and no one is able to find any of my journalistic accomplishments or anything that I've done because the big tech companies have pretty much deleted all of that from the search engines, or they've buried it.
They've buried it.
And then you just see all these lies. And then when Facebook banned me, they designated me as a dangerous individual. That's what they called it, a dangerous individual. And it made a lot of news. President Trump had tweeted about it. And then their classification of a dangerous individual was a terrorist, literally a terrorist. So meanwhile, while they allowed for ISIS and Hamas and Hezbollah and Antifa, which of course, you know, people in Oregon are very familiar with the terrorists and Antifa, they're allowed to have Facebook and they're not terrorists, but I'm considered a terrorist for being a, you know, an outspoken, popular, pro-Trump journalist online.
Exactly. And you're out, you know, fighting the fight. You're in Florida right now. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm in Florida where I live, and, you know, I filed to run for Congress again for 2022, and I ran for Congress in 2019, 2020, and I made history as the first deplatformed candidate in U.S. history. So it was the first time ever that a candidate for office had been entirely banned, and I was inspired to run for Congress mm-hmm. because of the deplatforming, because for years I've been warning that this was going to happen. And, you know, in 2018, I predicted that President Trump would be banned from Twitter and banned from Facebook, and people said, oh, that will never happen. But look, the president of the United States, while he was a sitting U.S. president, was deplatformed. And if yep. it can happen to him and it can happen to me, it can happen to any of you.
Well, and
this is a very serious issue.
It is. I think it's the most important issue. And I think it's one of the main things that Trump missed on. And that's his big black mark on his great presidency and what he did. I honestly believe that what big tech is doing and how they're collaborating and what they're doing, we are all being deplatformed in a way right now and being curated is what they say. They're curating our information to where it's really hard. And if we think about it, everybody's tied into their phones. Everybody's looped into their phones. Everybody's social distancing. And I know here, mm-hmm. everybody's wearing a mask. They're not talking. They're buried into their phones. They're just not paying attention to anything but what's being fed to them. And that's exactly where they want us. And that's exactly what they're anticipating. Is they want to feed us that information and to where we can't do it. So before we go to break here, how do people get in touch with you? How do they see your stories? How do they reach it? Is the best thing to go to Lumerd.com? Is that correct?
Yeah, they can go to my media site. I have a media company, Lumerd.com, or they can subscribe for my campaign updates at Lumer2022.com, and that's where they can sign up for updates and also donate to support my campaign.
Awesome.
And for those who don't know, President Trump endorsed me and he voted for me because he's a resident of District 21 where I'm running for Congress.
How does that feel that the President of the United States is endorsing you on your candidacy?
Well, it's incredible, and I'm incredibly honored that he voted for me in 2020 as well, and I was on the same ballot as him. It's an incredible feeling, and
yep.
It's an incredible honor.
Stay there, Luma.
We're going to continue the conversation, Laura, after this. We'll be back.
Thank you.
Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, talking about how you and I can make a difference and stand for truth. Listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Having a wonderful day. Yes, indeed. Looking at the weather today, 33 degrees as we continue on in the conversation. I am so excited to have Laura on the air with us this morning. And Laura, as we continue the conversation, you know, I just have to say I watched you at CPAC and I watched you work with people. And I know how difficult as I walk through with my friend Amy Ryan Courser here in Oregon. She came really close to winning in the 5th District. And I know how difficult it is to come close and then decide, okay, am I going to go again or not? And if anything, you have momentum. And I just admire you and your strength and your grit. And you have such good message for Oregonians here because we are at ground zero here. And it has been a difficult time. And I know, Josh, you and I have talked about this, what we're facing here in Oregon. We cannot give up. We need to have eyes wide open. We need to stand and stay in the fight. And Josh, I know you had some more questions for Laura. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did. So what I wanted to emphasize and why I wanted to bring Laura on, one, I think she's doing a great job and she needs to know we're here in Oregon and we do support everything that you're doing. And, you know, there are some, I would say, big pockets here that are definitely behind you. I know it's hard to distinguish what's information's going where and who's rising up against what trends or whatever, but just realize, you know, we are here for you and we would love to have you out here in Oregon. But the other thing is that I really wanted Laura to tell her story about how she, you know, rose through the ranks as an activist journalist and kind of got targeted by these companies and by, I would say, the Democrat Party, essentially, because she was over the target, doing some very serious investigative journals against the big wigs, the top, the tier, the cream of the crop. She was in bed with that and exposing them for who they are and what they are. So in that, she has been deplatformed, censored, everything else. But the biggest thing is, and the most important thing is what I want people to hear today, is how she was able to navigate out of that, what has come of that, how she's stronger, she's more active now, she's much more on fire, she's battle-hardened, ready to go. She is exactly what we need here in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And people that experience that kind of thing, you know, it, just how she's been resilient on that. And, you know, we appreciate that and we appreciate what you're doing, but I really want that to soak in of that. That's the most important thing is what do we do and how do we react and pivot from that? So back to Laura Loomer here. If you guys haven't checked out her book, she's got a book. It's called Loomered, you know, How I Became the Most Banned Person on the Internet. And it's set to release in October if Jeff Bezos doesn't ban it. Know, it's one of those things. I pre-ordered my copy, so that's good. You know, we're really looking forward to seeing that. And we're also really looking forward to possibly having you out here in Oregon. We think that would be great. So, Laura, what's on your agenda now? You ran for Congress in Florida. President Trump voted for you. You've had some great successes. What's on the agenda? What's on your plate for this summer?
Well, I just filed to run for Congress again 2 weeks ago, so I'm jumping back in. And just like Oregon is going to be redistricted, Florida is also going to be redistricted as well. So I'm hoping that District 21 becomes more red. But I also said that depending on redistricting, if there's another district that is more red than District 21, I reserve the right to change my district because I'm committed to winning and getting elected to Congress to fight these issues on behalf of Floridians, but also Americans, because while I am running for Congress, I view it more as a national race in a sense because of the fact that I have such a large soapbox and, you know, I have supporters and followers in all 50 states, patriots across the country who have helped me get this far. And that's really how I've been able to do it. And I owe it to my supporters who have helped me keep going. And, you know, you asked how I have been able to survive this. Well, I'd say that being deplatformed is probably the worst thing that's ever happened to me, but it's also one of the best things that ever happened to me, because when I was at my lowest low and I thought that my career was over and I was going to give up and that all was taken from me from these big tech companies that are worth trillions of dollars, I realized how powerful my voice is. And that's what everybody listening needs to understand, is that it may seem really dismal and dark, and you may feel defeated, you know, surrounded by idiot Democrats like Ted Wheeler and Antifa domestic terrorists who are literally burning your state to the ground. Mm-hmm. But, you know, through activism, your voice, you know, your voice matters, and you can make a difference. And so I filed lawsuits. I have a lawsuit that I filed in 2018 after being banned from Twitter. I filed this lawsuit against Google, Facebook, Twitter, and Apple, and it's currently up for review in the Supreme Court. You know, and I never imagined that I'd have a case up for review in the Supreme Court, but it's a case fighting for the free speech of conservatives. And you know, it claims that these companies are committing antitrust violations and human rights violations. I just got back from Tallahassee, where yesterday I testified at the Florida State Capitol in front of the Florida legislature regarding Governor DeSantis's proposed tech legislation, because I've identified some loopholes, and I want to make sure that the legislation is perfected and improved, because right now it currently doesn't protect candidates like it claims to. And so I'm just really focused on the legislative efforts and the litigation efforts. And just like you said, the most important issue in the country, and not and really the entire world right now, is big tech censorship. Because above anything else, if you think about it, if you don't have a voice, and if these companies are more powerful than any elected body or elected official, how are we ever going to have free and fair elections again? What difference would your opinion on any other political matter or your opinion matter if you're not able to voice it? And so we need to address cancel culture, because they're trying to cancel America.
Yep.
They're trying to deplatform America. And really, we need to just cancel big tech and deplatform big tech.
I agree.
Because, you know, we are very close to living in an absolute technocracy. And you could also argue that voter fraud is the most important issue. But I would argue that voter fraud and big tech censorship are the same thing.
Yes.
Because if you look at who funded the voter fraud and the ballot boxes in Georgia, it's Mark Zuckerberg, right? And look at you're talking about the story in the Washington Post that just came out. Who owns the Washington Post? Jeff Bezos, right? The owner of Amazon. So all these things, whether it's the fake news media, election interference, okay, deplatforming, it's all tied in with big tech.
That's
all
right.
The voter fraud and election interference.
I 100% agree. And the First Amendment is the most important amendment, which is why they made it the first. And we're on the radio with Laura Loomer here. After this break, we'll get back to you.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. We'll be back after this.
Hey. Hello, good morning. How you doing?
It's a good morning.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. Want to remind you that this show is up on our podcast at kslm.news, and you can grab the link and share it with your friends and family. And I want to share too, I want to say thank you to our show sponsor today, Dave and Paige Smith Realty One Group, Willamette Valley, ready to go above and beyond to serve you in your real estate needs. Give them a call, 503-939-7099. And you may or may not know this, but the nominations are now open for the best of the Willamette Valley. You can nominate by this Friday. In fact, you can nominate your favorite businesses and get them on the ballot. And then voting will start in April. So you want to make sure that you plan on doing that. We're continuing the conversation this morning with Laura Loomer, and she's out of Florida, but she really has become a national, I would say, patriot icon, in a sense, and really kind of, I would call you, Laura, Wonder Woman. You are the modern day Wonder Woman. And here's something that I just asked Josh: how old were you in 2004? Because in 2004, I ran a district office for out of South Dakota for Larry Dietrich, was running for Congress. And I remember that the mainstream media back in 2004, they even back then, they were so inaccurate that we had to do a lot of online blogging and internet things, starting to get the information out and getting it out to our constituents and fellow patriots, because the mainstream media, even in South Dakota, they just weren't correct, the newspapers and things going on way back then. And I remember how this shift started to happen were blogging and internet, and then you had YouTube, and all of the information news sources were not mainstream media, and I'm sure it just rocked the boat. I mean, when you pick up the newspaper right now, we get it here at the studio, it's tiny compared to what it used to be in the olden days, right?
That's because nobody's watching buying it. Nobody cares. They're so supported by big tech censorship and area. I mean, people aren't even contributing to that anymore. Mm-hmm. That should be telling. When the newspaper's tiny, nobody's buying it.
Right.
So they don't have any money, and they're basically just being funded as a propaganda wing, which is a whole interesting thing because the Pentagon has now legalized propaganda in the United States, by the way. So that's a whole nother
discussion on another day. But Laura, through all of this, you grew as an opportunity to go out and expose the lies and the propaganda early on during the Hillary Clinton campaign. And you had some really interesting kind of what I call gotcha moments or loomered moments where you exposed went against the message. And now you're having to suffer the consequences for telling the truth. And I want to hear from you. When I think about Oregonians, I think about just Americans in general. You know, we feel like we're up against the big tech wall. What do we do? How do we get around it? Where do we go for our information? What would you give as advice to people today?
Well, I would say that, you know, if you're on Facebook and Twitter, get off, because it's like a form of Stockholm syndrome, right? It's an abusive relationship because you have to self-censor yourself in order to stay on these sites, and just stay off. They hate you. They hate you if you're conservative. So get on sites like Gab and Telegram and Parler and alternative social media sites, and stop allowing for the big tech tyrants to keep your data and make money off of your participation and usage of their sites. You know, that's the first step. Also, just like I said, you know, I was in the Florida State Capitol yesterday where the battle for big tech is taking place. When the federal government fails to protect the citizens from tyranny and abuse, which is what we're witnessing right now, okay, big tech just stole the election for the Democrats, okay, and Joe Biden is complicit because he and his family have ties to big tech and financial business dealings with Facebook and their executives. You can read all about that on my site. But it's up to the states then to protect the citizens of their states. And so you need to take this fight to your state legislator in Oregon, and you need to have, you know, activist movements pushing for legislation to protect Oregonians from this type of, you know, these antitrust violations and the human rights violations. And along with breaking up big tech and, promoting election integrity and combating voter fraud, another one of my key platform initiatives for my campaign in 2020 and now in 2022 as well is, you know, political affiliation needs to be updated to our Civil Rights Act as a protected class. If you can be protected for your gender, for your race, there's no reason why you can't be protected for your political affiliation. And what is happening to conservatives, they're being fired, they're being denied jobs, they're being denied access to education, their banks are being shut down. You know, it's like Jim Crow. Yep. We're living in a time where we have, you know, you want to laugh, but really,
yeah,
honestly,
well, and that's the thing,
you know.
Well,
Rosa Parks was deplatformed to the back of the bus. Okay, so so when you think about it, in a sense, you could say conservatives really are the new black people in the time of Jim Crow. Right. Or I like to say conservatives are the new Jews, because what we're witnessing right now are the same tactics that were implemented by Hitler in 1933, you know, in the time leading up to the Holocaust. And that may sound inflammatory and people may say,
I've already said it on this show back in July.
But it is the same. It is the same. And look, it was 80 years ago. And when you look at 1933 and you look at what happened in the Holocaust, it didn't begin by rounding up Jews and shoving them in ovens and gas chambers, right? And as a Jewish woman, I know my history. My grandfather was arrested by Nazis in Germany. It began with a full-blown censorship and propaganda campaign with the propaganda ministry, Joseph Goebbels, and Hitler's propaganda machine, where he banned foreign radios, broadcast in Germany and parts of Nazi-occupied Europe, and then they were able to just have full-blown crackdowns, and they didn't have social media back then, but, you know, you get thrown in Facebook jail these days. He would, he'd have people arrested for going against him and the Nazi regime. And that's what we're seeing right now. The Democrats are doing the same thing. You go against them, you're a domestic terrorist. You're an insurrectionist. Okay, you support President Trump. Okay, well, the FBI is going to doorstop you. They've weaponized the FBI as their own Gestapo police force to target United States citizens and American patriots who support President Trump and are completely against, you know, this radical communist agenda.
And that's
the truth. Yep. That's what we're witnessing right now.
And that's what it's really about.
And a favorite tactic for communists and Nazis and how they've been able to maintain power throughout the years is censorship.
Yep.
That's how they do it.
Well, and King Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, this is history. That's why we need to know the history.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to know why... where we've come from so that we can prevent these things. And you've made those connections beautifully, as we were going to point that out, right, Josh?
Yeah, so basically the conservative deplatforming and the conservative censorship is the beta test for the future, which is going to be somebody that doesn't want to get the mRNA vaccine, somebody that doesn't want to wear a mask, a doctor that's speaking out and is like, hey, you know, this whole COVID thing's a hoax and this and that. And they're using all of this power and they're using all of that to deplatform any sense of any information. And I think you're right in comparing it to, you know, the 1933s Germany of what it evolved to is I think the mask now is the new gold star of what was back in the 1930s. It's a way to compartmentalize people. It's a way to deplatform, discredit them. You know, if you look, did you see that 65-year-old lady in Texas that got arrested in the bank for not wearing a mask?
In Texas, when it's supposed to be open, right?
I think it was in Austin, Texas. This 65-year-old woman was in the bank just pulling her money out. She was obviously going to go do her business elsewhere. A cop comes in and asks her to put a mask on. She says no, and he arrests her. Have you seen that video yet?
I haven't seen it, but I've seen other videos like that, and
crazy.
It's really disturbing. And it's disturbing because... law enforcement officers, look, I support the police, but if, you know, we're going to support the police need to support us.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of police officers who don't know the Constitution, and it's unconstitutional to force someone to wear a mask. Your job as a police officer isn't to do the bidding of radical Democrat politicians, right? And I know that this is a battle that you face here there in Oregon, where, you know, the duty of a police officer is to protect the citizens and protect the public, and then you have citizens and businesses being beaten and burned to the ground by Antifa because the Democrats in Oregon issue stand down orders, right? So we need police officers to actually fulfill their oaths. And their oath is to the Constitution, the law of the land, not to deranged Democrat mandates based off of fake science.
Yeah, and they do that. I think they're just taking orders, and that's the fine line for me with supporting the police or not. I do support the police. I believe in law and order and things like that. But, you know, really, they are just rule followers, and in a lot of cases we've seen to where they're willing to, you know, violate your rights. I think it's civil rights violation to require somebody to wear a mask. I think that's no different than discriminating against business for somebody being black or Jewish or Muslim. Or not baking a cake, you know, in Portland because somebody's gay, you know, that if they're willing to stand up for somebody baking a cake, I think they should stand up for the 65-year-old woman and everybody else that doesn't want to wear a mask, that they don't believe it. You know, it's a medical thing, and I'm not trying to get on a tangent with the mask. I just, you know, it's really interesting. I did.
It's funny that you.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's just funny, the mentality of the Democrats, right? So you have all these Democrat women, my body, my choice, but it only applies when you're murdering your own babies, I suppose. I guess my body, my choice doesn't apply when you want to, you know, decide whether you want to wear a mask or not.
Yeah, or get bacteria, you know, and get mask mouth is what the dentist's calling it. They're having a huge influx of what's called mask mouth is because you're breathing in the same air. It's not getting the open air, just like an open wound, and it's creating more bacteria, which is in return creating more infection, and then people are getting sick. It's absurd.
And the troubling part for me is, as a mom and a grandma, Laura, is what this is teaching and training and conditioning our students and our elementary students, our middle school and high school students, and to go along, to get along, don't cause a ruckus. You know, right now in Oregon, we have students playing sports because we're kind of getting back to school. Students are playing sports, but their parents are not allowed to watch them. In fact,
we'll
be arrested.
Masks.
And they're wearing masks outside.
Outside.
It's such a conflict right now. And we need to know, you know, I'm a big one about it's easy to curse at the darkness and show where the trouble is. But I'm also one about what can we do about it? What can we do about it today? Part of it is being aware of it. Part of it's bringing you on the air and you maybe here to Oregon to help alert people that this is a crisis. We're in a constitutional crisis. What can we do about it? And
yeah.
I think some of the things that we are doing is alerting people, right?
Yeah, it's about information, and we need to make sure that we maintain open communication channels, because the way that they're trying to control people is through cracking down on the information and controlling the flow and distribution of information through censorship. So, you know, your platform is great, obviously, but we also need people to run for office. We need people to challenge the voter fraud. Like I said, this is going to begin in the state legislature. Go to your state legislatures. Make sure that they pass voter fraud initiatives to combat voter fraud. Make sure that your state legislatures and your local officials are addressing tech censorship. Everything is at a local level. And a lot of times Republicans, they focus on the bigger positions while they neglect the local positions, right? This is why the Democrats are so successful in canceling America and spreading their propaganda and radicalizing the youth.
Yeah.
Why do you think you have such an influx of Antifa? Well, because you have all these Democrats, you have all these radical leftists who are teaching your children propaganda from the school board level. We need to start getting conservatives on the school board.
Okay? You are
spot on.
To
start providing checks and balances.
You're spot on. We're going back to another break. We'll be back after this, continuing the conversation with Laura Loomer when we get back. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, hanging out with Josh. And we have on the line with us today Laura Loomer, as we're continuing to have this conversation about big tech and their attempt to totally just cancel anybody that opposes them. And the interesting thing is I remember training up my kids and helping them understand to evaluate a story or evaluate something that they're hearing, to look at both sides of it, not just assume that with the one side that was the truth, to look and have those analysis, right? And analyzing the information coming towards us. And it seems like that critical thinking skills and common sense have gone clear out the door. And this day and age, we're just supposed to just take what the mainstream media says as gospel truth. And we just need to march to their drum and not oppose it. And what's so astounding to me is that anybody locally, when you start standing strong, opening up Oregon, no, we don't want to wear the mask, then all of a sudden we're the villains.
Oh yeah, I'm a national terrorist now, according to the Antifa groups in Eugene and stuff. But you know what's interesting and where this is going, and the new drumbeat that everybody's pushing is take your vaccine. Mm. Oh, the vaccine's good. It's almost like they're creating a fake shortage to create the Streisand effect, so everybody jumps on it like, oh, I didn't think I need one, but I better get one now because I can't, you know, they're only giving so many out, and you know, oh good, now we're all going to get them by May, and maybe we can have a barbecue with our family
July.
On July. Yeah, it's like, okay, you know, and that's the scary thing and the slippery slope, which is once again why I think we're talking with Laura Loomer here from Florida, why I think it's so important to be able to combat the big tech censorship and the flow of information, because that is, to me, the most important thing to be able to get information out, because once your information is darkened or curated or filtered, you're no longer getting the truth, which then they can convey anything. You know, we saw it with the COVID-19 rollout of the people dying and falling in the streets of China, and then it gets here and it's like, no, the big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a misinformation. That was the power and the control of the media and their ability to do that. And the next thing is that they're pushing these vaccines, and just, it's just wall to wall. I mean, even on these conservative radios that I listen to, you know, in the middle, they're playing commercials about, oh, the COVID-19 vaccine, and you got to get your vaccine, mm-hmm. and you got to get your vaccine. And everybody's talking about the vaccine and like it's so great. Meanwhile, people are like dying in droves from it after they're getting their second shots and everything else. Nobody's talking about it. Anybody that does.
Right. No one's talking about that, Laura, and I'm concerned about that. There's information out there that I'm hearing. People that I know people that have had severe effects have been, you know, for weeks they're trying to recover from the second dose. And yet people are like, well, my doctor recommends it, and or the VA recommends it. And I'm concerned that where do we go for accurate information on really what's going on with the vaccine?
Yeah, no, look, there definitely is a lot of issues that relate not only to the big tech censorship, but also COVID. And it's causing a crisis and a public health emergency far beyond the virus itself, you know, which the Democrats have claimed is, you know, is still a pandemic. I would disagree. But I think what the real crisis is the fact that people are dropping dead like flies from this vaccine.
Yep.
And people are getting sick. And there's been reports of infertility, right, and miscarriages, mm-hmm. and that's the public health crisis that's being created. And so with the censorship, they're saying that that's COVID disinformation. So if you're posting facts about somebody dying or saying you don't want to take the vaccine, not only are you being shamed and canceled, but you're also being you know, shut down for so-called misinformation. And so this is really dangerous, because there are many countries that are discontinuing the vaccines right now because so many people are dying.
Yeah, there's over 20 right now.
I will never take the vaccine. I think it's very reckless and dangerous for people to be taking this vaccine that has, you know, barely had any trial time whatsoever, regardless of what type of vaccine it is. You know, regardless of what type of vaccine it is, they haven't had enough time to adequately review it.
Well,
it's only been exactly one year tomorrow. Today's the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow's the 17th. I remember that's when 15 days to slow the spread began,
because right.
I was supposed to go to Vegas for a conference. It was the 17th. Mm-hmm. I remember, because I had to cancel my flight. So it's been 1 year and they already have a vaccine out. It's just not safe.
Yeah,
not
and it doesn't
safe.
Make
I'm
sense.
Never it.
Well, and they're also talking about, I mean, Fauci was on the other day. He was talking about how they're basically experimenting on us with mm-hmm. the vaccine, because they don't have the trials. They don't have, they didn't go through all the proper channels to distribute this thing as they did with everything else and every other vaccine that has followed. Not that I would recommend taking any of the previous ones, because even though they have trials, they censor those. Mm-hmm. No different than, you know, cell phone data. Cool. And 5G and different
things. And you know what's interesting? You know what's interesting too is Dr. Fauci's, one of his daughters works at Twitter. So what are the odds? You know, you see all these connections. Between,
yeah, it's wild.
Between these Democrats and, you know, the tech executives and the people who work at these companies. And so, you know, I'd love to be a fly on the wall, you know, with conversations that Dr. Fauci and his daughter have with Twitter executives.
Well, and that's exactly, it's, you know, back in the day, it used to be called conflict of interest, right? And that's the part, everything that I was raised, and I'm just 51 years old, but everything that I was raised as common sense has just gone out the door this last year. And mm-hmm. what I love about your generation, Laura and Josh, is that you are alerting people. You've got the grit and determination to stand strong, and you're helping some of us who've now just gotten used to using these technical tools, right? Especially like my parents and stuff. Oh, now I can be on Facebook. Oh, wait a minute. Now I can't be on Facebook. You know, there's this whole unraveling going on, and you're helping us see why it's so important to stay alert, stay involved, stay engaged. And I love your message, Laura, because it underlines what I've been saying. We've got to get involved locally. We've got to support candidates. We've got to get behind our school board, our council, our commission, our local state house. Like here in Oregon, we have a Democrat stronghold. We can't, the only effort we can have is walking out to stop bad legislation. And our state house is still closed. It's not open to people to participate, and they're passing laws. It's a scary, scary thing, and we're definitely in an Oregon constitutional crisis and a national constitutional crisis, and it's people like you standing strong, and we so appreciate you.
Yeah, and that's what's so important, Laura, with what you're doing and why we support your candidacy and getting you in Congress, because I think the average congressional candidate or congressperson is like 80 something. I mean, you know, they don't even hardly know what an email is and everything else. And big tech is using that to their advantage, and everything else. So once again, Laura Loomer, we got her on the radio. What is the best way for people to contact you? What is the best way for people to support you? And how do people reach you?
Well, thank you so much for having me. So you won't be able to find me on social media, but you can go to my campaign website, loomer2022.com, and that's where you can subscribe for my email updates, and that's where you can make a donation. And you don't have to be a Floridian to donate, as long as you're a United States citizen. Every dollar counts, whether it's a dollar, five, 10, 20, 100, or, you know, the max donation of 2,900. Every dollar counts. And, like I said, President Trump endorsed me in 2020, and he did vote for me, and I'm an America First patriot. And not only will I fight for the people of District 21, but I'll fight for you as well.
Thanks, so, Laura. God bless you, and Godspeed.
Thank you, Laura, so much.
Thank you.
Let us know how we can be of help. We'll be in touch. God
Thank
bless you.
You,
friends. Thank you
Thank
for
you.
Listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Great show today. Thank you, Josh, for your time today. Friends, remember, we can make a difference. You and I, together, making a difference right here at home and throughout the nation. God bless you, and God bless the USA.
'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.